From Heaven with Love. Chapter 46. Jesus Transfigured. Evening was drawing on as Jesus called to his side Peter, James, and John, and led them far up a lonely mountainside. They had spent the day traveling and teaching, and the climb added to their weariness. Soon the sun disappeared, and the travelers were wrapped in darkness. The gloom of their surroundings seemed in harmony with their sorrowful lives, around which clouds were gathering. The disciples did not venture to ask Christ whither he was going, or for what purpose. He had often spent entire nights in the mountains in prayer. He was at home with nature and enjoyed its quietude. Yet the disciples wondered why their master should lead them up this toilsome ascent when they were weary and when he too needed rest. Presently Christ told them that they were to go no farther. Stepping a little aside from them, the man of sorrows poured out his supplication with tears. He prayed for strength to endure the test in behalf of humanity. He must gain a fresh hold on omnipotence, for only thus could he contemplate the future. And he poured out his heart longings for his disciples, that their faith might not fail. The dew was heavy on his bowed form, but he heeded it not. So the hours passed slowly by. At first the disciples united their prayers with his, but after a time they fell asleep. Jesus had told them of his sufferings, and had longed to lighten their grief by an assurance that their faith had not been in vain. Not all, even of the 12, could receive the revelation he desired to give. Only the three who were to witness his anguish in Gethsemane had been chosen to be with him in the mount. Now his prayer was that they might witness a manifestation that would comfort them in the hour of his supreme agony with the knowledge that he was of a surety the Son of God and that his shameful death was part of the plan of redemption. His prayer was heard. Suddenly the heavens opened, and holy radiance descended upon the mount, enshrouding the Savior's form. Divinity from within flashed through humanity and met the glory coming from above. Arising from his prostrate position, Christ stood in godlike majesty. His countenance shone as the sun, and his garments were white as light. The disciples, awaking, gazed in fear and amazement on the radiant form of their master. As they became able to endure the wondrous light, they saw beside Jesus two heavenly beings, Moses, who on Sinai had talked with God, and Elijah, to whom the high privilege was given never to come under the power of death. Because of his sin at Meribah, it was not for Moses to enter Canaan. Not for him was the joy of leading Israel into the inheritance of their fathers. A wilderness grave was the goal of 40 years of toil and heart-burdening care. Moses passed under the dominion of death, but he did not remain in the tomb. Christ himself called him forth to life. See Jude 9. Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration represented those who shall come forth from the grave at the resurrection of the just. Elijah, who had been translated to heaven without seeing death, represented those living at Christ's second coming, who will be changed, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Jesus was clothed as he will appear when he shall come the second time in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Upon the mount the future kingdom of glory was represented in miniature, Christ the King, Moses a representative of the risen saints, and Elijah of the translated ones. Peter seriously misunderstands the disciples' rejoice that the meek and lowly one, who had wandered to and fro a helpless stranger, was honored by the favored ones of heaven. They believed that Elijah had come to announce that the kingdom was about to be set up on earth. Here they longed to tarry. Peter exclaimed, "Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles. One for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias." The disciples were confident that Moses and Elijah had been sent to protect their master and establish his authority as king. But before the crown must come the cross. Bearing the weakness of humanity, burdened with its sorrow and sin, Jesus walked alone in the midst of men. As the darkness of the coming trial pressed upon him, he was in loneliness of spirit, in a world that knew him not. Even his loved disciples had not comprehended his mission. In the world he had created, he was in solitude. Now heaven had sent messengers. Not angels, but men who had endured suffering and sorrow, And who could sympathize with the Savior? Moses and Elijah had been co-laborers with Christ. They had shared his longing for the salvation of men. Moses had pleaded for Israel, "Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." Elijah had known loneliness of spirit, as for 3 years and a half of famine he had borne the nation's hatred and woe. Alone he had fled to the desert in anguish and despair. These men had come to commune with Jesus concerning his suffering and to comfort him. The salvation of every human being was the burden of their interview. Overcome with sleep, the disciples heard little of what passed between Christ and the heavenly messengers. They had not received what God desired to give them, a knowledge of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. They lost the blessing that might have been theirs. Yet they were assured that all heaven knew of the sin of the Jewish nation in rejecting Christ. They were given a clearer insight into the work of the Redeemer. They were eyewitnesses of His majesty, and realized that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, recognized as such by the heavenly universe. While they were still gazing upon the scene, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." As they heard the voice of God speak in awful majesty that caused the mountain to tremble, the disciples fell smitten to the earth, their faces hidden, till Jesus came near, dispelling their fears with his well-known voice, "Arise and be not afraid." The heavenly glory had passed away, the forms of Moses and Elijah had disappeared. They were alone with Jesus.